Coming up on show 1109, Ferrari need a new boss. So who do they turn to? The tech industry. And that's why they're heading towards an electric future. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, we're talking about New Jersey incentives. The UK's original nationwide charging network is bought. And turning diesel into electric. Those stories and more coming up. Keep listening. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. It's EV News Daily for what happened on Thursday, 10th of June. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story, so you don't have to. Feeling a little bit better today. Thank you for your patience, and sorry for the croakiness. So we'll kick off with this big story about Sweden's gigafactory expansion. The Swedish battery manufacturer Northvolt said it had signed a $2.75 billion private placement to further finance battery cell production. This is great. We need more EVs. Why haven't we got them? Not enough batteries. This is fantastic. The company is looking to expand further in Sweden. Northvolt's going to go from 40 to 60 gigawatt hours every single year. That makes it a super gigafactory. According to Evertique.com, with this money, Northvolt has now raised $6.5 billion in equity, and they're expanding. Their plan is to make 150 gigawatt hours of annual production by the end of the decade. In addition, they are doing deals with the likes of supplying BMW, Scania, Fluence, and of course, Volkswagen. VW, according to Recharge website, VW still remain a very large shareholder. They are contributing an extra $620 million in this financing round, and that means they keep their 20% stake in Northvolt. They've already invested $1.1 billion. They have a seat on the board of directors, and of course VW looking at Northvolt as a very important partner as they head towards an electric future. This is brilliant news. We need more cells, we need more batteries, and Northvolt in Sweden, one of those companies that are doing great things. Chief Executive Peter Carlson said, "We've been producing cells at our facility, Northvolt Labs, for more than a year and excited to bring the knowledge and technology that we've developed so far to large-scale production." Links in the show notes to all those stories. Next, Tesla's Gigafactory, talking gigafactories, in Texas is already making cars. Well, sort of. Bear with me. Tesla in Texas, the latest production facility that they're building, meant to be making cars at the end of the year, and Cybertruck is supposed to be in production November, December. I don't know. That's going to be a real tall order. Also, the Model Y is going to be made there as well, and the Tesla Semi. Now it appears that Tesla's factory is hard at work. Teslarati sharing a video from Twitter showing multiple pieces of machinery inside Gigafactory Texas wearing away. The equipment is most likely initial testing of this new equipment, according to Benzinger website, although the factory is under construction, and if you've seen some of those YouTube videos, there's bits of it that are just mud filled. There's water pouring in the roof every time it rains, but there are bits of it that are finished enough to start to test out the machinery and these parts for the Model Y. Back in May, hundreds of Model Y front castings were seen piled outside Gigafactory Texas. The latest video adds to the evidence that Tesla is pushing its schedule to begin Model Y production in Texas as soon as possible. They haven't got to have every bit of the factory finished, just enough to start making maybe some Model Ys, maybe those first early, really early Cybertrucks as well. Okay, let's talk about a massive investment from Renault into what will be Europe's biggest EV production facility. Renault announcing a new, wholly owned legal entity, making it official, if you like, called Renault Electricity, capital C, halfway through the word. Renault Electricity, electricity, electri, no space, city, big city. Clever, see what they've done. It groups together the industrial sites of, I hope I get this right, I don't speak very good French, Douai, Maubeuge, and Ruitz in northern France, totaling nearly 5,000 employees. The move is part of the Renaulution announcements that was a couple of months ago. Another fantastic, certainly a interesting French title. Very clever what they did with that. Not Revolution, Renaulution was the name of. You got it. I know you got it. I'm just over-explaining it. What this will do, by combining these plants together, they'll make 400,000 EVs a year by 2025. That's incredible. 400,000 every single year. And the next year, and the next year. That's amazing. From the middle of the decade. Inside EVs says that the Douai plant will start production of their first EV later this year. That is the all-electric Megane, based on the same platform that the Nissan Ariya. Of course, Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi in the alliance. The Maubeuge plant, not a newbie to EVs. They've been making the electric Kangoo van for a while, and that plant will also make electric vans for Nissan and Daimler, and the plant in Ruitz is going to do the electrical components. Okay, coming up on the podcast, we'll talk about incentives in the US and why it's a little uncertain. And the UK's original national charging network has been bought. The electric highway has new owners. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Right, let's talk about headline story today. Ferrari needed a new boss. And who do they turn to? Not the automotive industry. Ferrari has turned to the technology industry. Benedetto Vigna is his name, and he's going to be driving the luxury sports car maker forward. High-octane engines are out, and electric powertrains are in, says Reuters. He's 52. He's been running the biggest semiconductor maker, ST Microelectronics. He's worked there since 1995. He's a science and tech guy. That's his background, his education. His thesis was on quantum something. This is not an automotive guy. This is not someone who's been around the block, done a stint at, you know, Bugatti, Lamborghini. Now he's ended up at Ferrari. No, he was one of the guys that pioneered the sensors that means that when you rotate your iPhone from landscape to portrait, it also twizzles around. His appointment announced today shows that Ferrari's development is firmly anchored in manufacturing high-tech, cutting-edge products, and not just high-end, loud combustion sports cars, repositioning itself as a pure luxury goods company. It also highlights the challenges facing car makers as they adapt to the green revolution, and we see things like this happening. It's really interesting, right? Next, we'll talk about New Jersey, so eager to get more EVs on the road. The state was literally paying you to buy an electric vehicle if you live in New Jersey. It was a rebate up to $5,000, one of the most generous state incentives in the country, but it expired back in December. Anyone who bought an EV in the last 6 months didn't get it, and it's unclear when the program resumes, says NJ.com, experts in New Jersey news. For months, state officials saying that they're targeting this summer for the incentives to come back. But hey, it's June, and they're not back. Combined with federal tax credit of $7,500, EV drivers in the Garden State could get as much as $12,500 off the sticker price, depending on make, depending on model. Let's talk about a big, big, big piece of news here in the UK. So again, it's very UK-based, but I'll tell you all about it. GridServe is a new company which has built one forecourt, electric forecourt, they're calling them, backed by Japanese money, Hitachi, and they've built one of these sites, and I've not been to it yet, but it looks incredible. They've done an amazing, amazing job with it. And they've not stopped spending money because now they have completed their purchase of the electric highway. It was our first national charging network for EVs. It was rolled out by an electricity company called Ecotricity, a very high-profile founder called Dale Vince. And the electric highway has played a massive role in kickstarting EVs here in the UK, established in 2011. But sadly, by being first, their tech was also the oldest. Now, look, I've been driving Renault Zoes, and so the AC plug on them, because there was always a CCS, Janamo, and AC. Look, the AC plug was normally pretty reliable. There was one on the M3 southbound that never damn well worked. But apart from that, I was always really lucky because I'm charging on AC, right? However, certain cars, newer cars, newer EVs, plugging into CCS, I read so many stories, and, you know, support wasn't 24/7. How can you run a charging network as a charge point operator and not have 24/7 support? Literally, people call you at, you know, in the evening, and, oh, I can't get my car to charge. Oh, yeah, we're back on the phones tomorrow morning. That's so ridiculous. There was no investment in those areas that I believe needed additional investment. So the new hardware and customer support, two really important things. I don't mind paying a good price, a high price for electricity when I'm on the move, if I can be guaranteed reliability, help when I need it, and also a good choice of chargers. Now, they had some amazing locations because they were the first, and they tied up exclusive contracts on our motorway networks. That's our main fast roads. that has been changing recently, and that exclusivity has been going. You've seen Ionity going in, and GridServe decided to not just invest in the company, but buy it. And that is great. According to Green Car Reports, GridServe ramping up their investment. They will replace all the existing pumps on the network with new technology. A contactless payment is so important. Last month, they opened their first high-power charging facility on the motorway network at Moto in Rugby. 12 new 350-kilowatt chargers. That's so good. And it's fantastic. And, you know, I've said it many times before, I'd make this case to anyone who, you know, works at a charge company and wants to defend what they're doing. Being a charge point operator is the world's most thankless task. When it goes right, no one thanks you. It can only go wrong, and then people are livid. They don't want to pay that much for electricity, which is crazy because you need the charge. These companies need to get a return on investment. There is no return on investment. Putting in chargers at the moment is crazy expensive. And the best case scenario I can see for running a charge point operator is to sell it one day and hopefully make a profit that way. You don't make any money back on the electricity. To install grid level electricity, cables, groundworks, when you start digging stuff up, that gets expensive quick. So you can lose £1 million on a installation and think, well, where did that go? On a few charges. So all power to Hitachi for funding this. It's great news for the UK, and great news that they're recognising that this old technology needs updating. Next, thousands of London vans could switch to electric today, right now. More than 1.6 million vans across the UK could switch to clean electric power. New technical analysis has revealed London has the potential to make the biggest single switch to green EVs. All the research shows that more than 85,000 could make the switch in London alone, according to the London Evening Standard newspaper. Fleet management services called Master Nought, they're in this business, owned by Michelin, the tyre giant, compiled 1 year's worth of data from 37,000 vehicles and worked out where do they go and could they do it with electric power. The research found that fleet operators could right now, not in the future, not hypothetically, today, click of a finger, replace 40% of their current vehicles with what's on the market now, let alone what's coming up, with no daytime charging required en route. The transition from petrol to EV means we could save 8.3 million tons of CO2 a year with just fleets. It'd be amazing if we could do it as soon as possible. Next, we'll talk about a great initiative in Australia. 5 years after the demise of the Australian vehicle manufacturing in Adelaide, a growing number of businesses are retrofitting diesel vehicles into EVs in Australia for use where? Underground. Mining is a big deal in Australia, and that suits electric vehicles. A Victoria-based mining supplier, says the ABC, Safescape, began developing its own EV a couple of years ago. GB Auto have been retrofitting Land Cruisers into EVs. Zero Automotive do the same with a modular electric platform. And they, especially with like with the Land Cruisers, you can have an underground-ready vehicle for miners to use. It's going really well. They say that because the vent flow in the mine is paramount, if you're counting light vehicles in that flow of fresh air, once you get to five vehicles, you've got to take out a truck. And so make it EV and so much more flexibility. All right, last story today while my voice holds up. German PV manufacturer Solar Watt today unveiled a new battery storage in collaboration with BMW. Solar Watt Battery Flex is modular. I want this so badly. In my garage, it fits together. You can have several of these devices from 4.8 kilowatt hours, which is nice, to 240 kilowatt hours. That would take up my whole garage. However, you can stack 8 of these modules together and then put them into 10 different clusters, says Solar Power Portal. Additionally, the individual components of the Solar Watt battery weigh no more than 25 kilograms each. It's a one-person job to actually commission the system. When you pair it with some PV on your roof, of course, great way to manage your energy and generate it yourself and use it at night or when the electricity is very expensive. And I love these modular systems as well. I'd like, I don't know, I reckon about 14, 15 kilowatt hours of storage would do us if we had a 4 or 5 kilowatt PV system. We have enough roof space, but and we live south of England, but we're exactly east-west facing. You know, our roof is about as bad as it gets, so we would need a larger system. Our last house typically was perfectly south-facing, but then we never did PV on the roof. But hey, solar this year, and then yeah, battery storage one day when funds allow. That's your podcast for today. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com: what noises, if any, should EVs make, inside or outside? Let me know. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. So thank you so much for listening. Any reviews on Apple Podcasts are amazing. Any chance you get to check out the Patreon page, how we fund the show, get an ad-free feed on Patreon, and you can do that at patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, thank you Brad, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley running his brilliant EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk. If you're buying and selling EVs in the UK, check him out. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.